Welcome to Tribecast. I'm Forrest Walden, founder and CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness. And on this podcast, I am going to help you find your tribe and maximize your life. Welcome to another episode of Tribecast. Excited today to have my longtime friend, over 20 years now, Billy Bowie, president and CEO of Elevate Experiences. Billy and I go back to college when we were both at Auburn. He was a baseball player. I was a cheerleader. And I can tell some good stories from those days for sure. But Billy is a successful entrepreneur over in Atlanta, married for 10 years, three kids, and really excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Billy.
I'm so pumped to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm humbled to have a good combo. Let's get it.
Let's do it. So you do speaking, you host events, you produce events. You've actually spoken or were the MC at one of my TribeCon franchise conference events, did a fantastic job for us. Tell the audience a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do.
So I believe in the power of story and that everybody's story at any given moment can collide with a piece of content like a podcast, like a video, like a live interaction with someone, and either propel that story one of two ways, a more compelling story to make it really, really great, or take it the opposite direction to be very, very average. And so I grew up in Atlanta, graduated from actually Georgia State University. I played baseball at Middle Georgia and then went to Auburn, had an injury, ended up transferring, got a business degree, played minor league baseball with the Philadelphia Phillies. And through that whole time, had this thread of music and microphone and influence and just story. So from that time, from college until now, I've just always believed that there's a way to produce great events and experiences for people that will do two things: make team members that work for that brand smile and make people that spend money with that brand rave. And so Elevate Experiences was born of this idea that there's a greater story to be told, and we got to spend the most creativity, the most passion to actually make that happen.
And you've worked with some pretty large companies. I saw Chick-fil-A on there. Who else have you worked with?
So we've had the opportunity to work with a lot of Fortune 500 brands, from Chick-fil-A. We helped them with their grand opening experiences, also with the Chick-fil-A kickoff game and other giant brand movements they have. Coca-Cola has hired us to work with the FIFA World Cup trophy tour. So we've done a lot with soccer. We've helped with the Atlanta Falcons create some experiences there. Delta Airlines, around a Home Depot, a lot of Atlanta-based brands, but it's been really fun to watch over the last 7 years when Elevates was born until now, of seeing the different conversations we get in. I'm a big believer that if you can just start a better conversation with people, sales becomes very, very easy. You're really trying to solve problems for people, and we've done that for a lot of different brands, and thankful that people continue to hire us and work with us.
So you have an unusual gift of being able to stand up in front of an audience and there be no awkward silence. You are an extreme extrovert from everything I can tell. But I was still blown away when I saw the Jimmy Fallon show and you maximized your opportunity to get on that mic. So I got to know, first of all, tell us the story, but were you ready to do that? Was that planned? How did that happen?
So those of you that don't know this story, it's a very pivotal moment in my journey. And the crux or the bottom line of this story is, have people around you that will encourage you and see a gift in you that you might not see in yourself, or to call you to do something great. And so I got a chance to be on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, just as a guest in the audience. It's actually free to go. You can go sign up to be on the show. I've been on there twice. And the first time I was on there, Steve Harvey was on the show, which was amazing. The second time I was on the show was Bruce Willis and a couple other lower level guests were there as well. Folks I'd never heard of before, some musicians. And they do this bit during the show called Freestyling with the Roots. And it's where Jimmy comes up through the crowd, has a card in his hand. He stops and talks to someone. He gets a few facts and data from that person. And then the Roots, who is the house band there at the Tonight Show, will do a freestyle rap about that person. And so Jimmy walks right by me. I happen to be on the end, and this was not staged or planted. He walks by me and goes talk to this girl a couple rows higher than me and ask her about the Olympics was going on. It was the Winter Olympics at that time. And then when he was turning around and coming back down, I put my head down because I was terrified. And so I was like, and it's funny, when he announced it, I knew it was going to happen, but I was terrified. And my wife, who's sitting next to me, takes her little bitty index finger, sticks it in the air, and like is just pointing straight down at me, like, "Hey, Jimmy, look right over here." You know, like when somebody asks for a volunteer in the crowd and the person mm-hmm. doesn't want to do it. So that's what happened. Go back and watch the clip. It's hilarious. And Jimmy said, "Hey, buddy." And I said, "Oh, my goodness." So I stood up. Not only do I love Jimmy Fallon, but just that moment. And there was this moment in the middle of it where I realized, I took a deep breath and I said, "This is it. I'm going to suggest that I freestyle rap about my own thing." And so I told Jimmy, said, "Hey, I can actually freestyle rap." And Jimmy glanced at his producer, who's right in front of him. And the producer just sort of shrugged their shoulders. And then he looked at Tariq, who's the guy from The Roots, who's the freestyle rapper. Tariq just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And Jimmy said, "Well, I guess we'll just let you freestyle rap about your own situation." I said, "Well, okay, sounds good." And so everything was a blur. It was on a scale of 1 to 10. It was about a 2 on quality. It was one of my worst freestyles I've ever done. But well, here's what happened is I marked this down. We got $318,000 worth of business from that one moment. And I've traced it back to all the text messages and emails and basically people saying, "If you have the cojones to do that on The Tonight Show, I want you to come work with us." So it's really fun. I wouldn't take a lot of credit other than my wife really encouraged it. And it was the right moment, the right time. But it was one of those things. And for the listeners listening in, you've got to hone your gift and find out what it is. And then don't be afraid to put it out there. Don't be like me and put your head down when the moment comes. Or if you do put your head down, have somebody around you that can point to you and call you up to a greater level.
Well, that's so interesting because watching it, I thought, of course Billy was ready for that moment. He went in there with something rehearsed and just going to maximize it. It's so funny to hear the other side of it. But you're so gifted in that way. I didn't think it was a 2 out of 10. I thought you slayed it. I thought it was awesome.
Good. Thank you.
All right, so talk about your organization. How many people are you leading? What are your goals? What is your purpose? What are you really setting out to do?
Yeah, so Elevate Experiences was born in 2012, January of that year, and we started with this idea that we could help people and organizations live and lead at a higher level. So when the brand was created, the word elevate simply means to lift, and experiences means something you undergo. And so could we put people through things that they could undergo that would help them lift from a leadership perspective, from an event perspective? How could we craft that? And so it started in my basement, sort of just me by myself figuring out how you could help people do events and get better at that. And then slowly but surely, we've grown. We're at 14 people now, so we're still a small organization. But as we've grown, we have field team members literally all over the country that we hire for different things that we bring in to activate events for All Pro Dad. We do a lot of their stadium events with them, which is fun. Anything from, like I mentioned, Chick-fil-A to Delta to Coke. All of these brands trust us, not just to be really good on the mic, although we're really good at that. They trust us to come in and really figure out how do they make their brand come to life. And so a lot of what we've done has been not just events, but strategy for them. And so when someone comes to us and said, "Hey, what does Elevate do?" Well, we want to take your brand and make it look really, really awesome in the market. You've got a set of dollars you're going to spend on marketing your thing. You've got a set of dollars you're going to spend on your national sales meeting, on putting together a training for your team, putting together a motivational event for your team. Why not make it awesome? And so if I were on the elevator with someone and they said, "Hey, what does Elevate do?" I would say, "We eliminate the plague of boring events." That's kind of my tip of the spear that I say. And then from there, we go into the fact that we do a lot of things to make brands look awesome. So that's where I was a company. And we've grown a lot. We've hit some bumps in the road in different ways. We've reformulated our team in different ways. We've learned and grown as we've gone. But I think that's what's fun for me. And when I realized that as a kid, lemonade stands, selling blow pops, I would always figure out ways to like sell things. I know that being an entrepreneur is something for me that's just sort of what I've done. It's just sort of what I've been about. And so when Elevate began, it was how do I add as much value as possible and how do I keep a business afloat at the same time? So I'm humbled where we are. I think just like every entrepreneur, it looks really flashy and it sounds really good when I say it, but it has mm-hmm. been a grind and it's been really, really hard as well.
Always is. So before 2012, were you an entrepreneur then, or like how long have you been in that game?
Yeah, so I graduated college in 2000 and I worked for a direct sales company for a bit. I sold different products for different companies. I did baseball lessons for a while, just having the baseball thing. Mm-hmm. I went and worked at a company called Booster for several years, doing elementary school fundraising, was there for a minute. And then from that moment, while I was always doing events in between, I realized that I wanted to figure out how to break into the market of corporate America in a super duper meaningful way. And so I had two kids that were born. My kids are 13 months apart, so we have a 5, 6, and 7-year-old, so things were crazy. We had two, and the third one was on the way, and I told my wife, said, listen, I'm going to go start this thing. We might be eating ramen noodles for a couple years, but I know I have to go chase it. And she looked me dead in the face and said, great, go for it. We didn't have the money. We didn't really have the backing, but a guy came out of nowhere from a friend at Auburn, actually, and said, hey, like, I want to invest in an entrepreneur that's going to do things right. And so wrote me a check out of his bank account and was able to pay him off actually within 8 months, was debt free as a company, which we're very proud of that. And just sort of were off to the races. So I would say I've always been an entrepreneur, but it wasn't until Elevate was born that I really, really saw that I can actually make a living doing this and actually add value and grow something.
I love that story, and it's a great segue too, because I want to talk about the other domains of your life. Clearly a successful entrepreneur, started from, you know, you in your basement, which is similar to Cord's story last week and so many others that I've had on this podcast. You know, I started in my garage, and yeah, it can be a lonely and hard place, and what it takes to get to where you are now is no small feat. So congratulations on that. But like you, I also have a very supportive spouse. And when I was talking about starting over and doing it all again, after I'd done it once successfully, I was moaning and whining about how hard it was going to be. And she just stopped me and said, go do it. You're going to be miserable if you don't. And so sounds like you got some very similar support at home. So let's talk about balance. Let's talk about your marriage, your kids. I'd be interested in some rhythms you create at home to create that balance in your life, and how that helps you be a more effective CEO.
Yeah. So I love my family. They're absolutely incredible. Been married for 10 years coming up this November. My firstborn boy is 7 years old. He's in second grade. And then I have the kindergarten and first grader girls. And for me, the balance part of it, I struggle with the word balance a lot. I believe in this idea of work-life rhythm, of not necessarily balance. Putting yourself out there and actually growing something, you've got to figure out what those rhythms are for you. And I would say something we do really well at our house is figuring out the idea that we're on the same team. That's a conversation I have with my wife all the time. It's like, hey, just a reminder, like, this is really tough right now, but we're on the same team. And that's been a huge reminder. She went to the University of Georgia and I went to Auburn. So we don't always feel like on the same team. We like to battle in the fall time. But that's been a big thing for us, is reminding each other of that. And if you follow my wife on Instagram, which is Uncommon Grit, she is amazing at working out as well. And she would say that is what keeps her focused, is keeping her health in check and keeping her mindset in check. And there's a great book called The 5 a.m. Club by a guy named Robin Sharma that I'm currently reading. And he talks about not just mindset, but health set, heart set, and soul set. And he uses that concept of, don't just focus on having a better mindset. A lot of people are talking about that in today's culture. And I think it's extremely important to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, of having that idea of going back to, is how do I renew that? How do I not ruminate on negative and focus on the positive and optimistic and moving forward? But at the same time, how do I really check in with my soul and see where that is? And what does my heart really need? And how do I get in touch with it, that as an entrepreneur? And that might sound a little fruity for the listeners, like, oh yeah, whatever, that's fruity. But that's a reality for me, is I have to pause and really do this thing called metacognition, which is thinking about my thinking. Learned this concept several years ago, and it's really helped me just, like, how do I think about my thinking? Where does my brain go when I have this certain thing? And so from a home for us, we spend a lot of time talking about that with my kids. And I don't know if you struggle with this, Forrest, but just turning it off is really, really hard. I have baseball practice tonight with my 7-year-old, and I do my best to keep my phone in the car and be present there at practice for that hour and a half. I think selective times to turn your phone on the non-vibrate off position in the kitchen with it plugged in and you're not thinking about it is important. But there's seasons where I've got to work until 1 a.m. to get something done. So I wouldn't say I have it perfect, but there's been some really good rhythms and conversation in our house.
All right, let's talk about some of the granular rhythms. Are you a religious date night every week guy? How do you create space with your wife?
Yeah, so finding babysitters is hard. I'll just start with that. So our family, although they're awesome, isn't really involved a lot with us. If there's listeners that have a hard time with family and being in agreement and babysitting and all that, it's honestly just been really, really hard for us. But once a week has been our focus for a date night for our entire marriage. And it's just been important for us to pause and really, like, think about the fact, do we actually still really like each other? And that's what's been cool, saying, I actually still really like you, you know? And so having that as the focus has been big. We do our best to read books together. So if there's something one of us is reading, we do our best to like keep that coinciding, which has been big. Something that in our best seasons is getting up early before the kids get up and either having a workout or having some coffee and just having some still time in the house before the kids wake up. There's a long season where my children were my alarm clock. And there's a lot of times in my life where that still is the case. But in our best parts of our marriage has been where we intentionally get up before the kids and have just some time to process the day. You know this. I mean, there's so many books written about, you know, if you can attack the day early, it's just better. It's why I'm sure Iron Tribe Fitness has classes at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, because mm-hmm. that's when the best classes happen. So that's some of the granular stuff that we think about for our relationship.
Okay. What about with your kids? I ask every father of multiple kids, how do you create one-on-one time with each kid? Is that something you struggle with? Because I do.
Yeah, for sure. And there's been several quotes, and there's a chief of staff at Elevate. Her name is Katie, and she reminds me of this a lot. She says, if it doesn't make the calendar, it's not actually going to happen. So putting it on the calendar, that as basic as that sounds, that has been super helpful. Like, I just went on a father-son retreat weekend with my son Xander this last weekend at Camp Highland, which was amazing. We got that weekend because why? It was on the calendar a month beforehand. There was 1,000 things going on. I definitely could have blown it off and said, but we had to have it on the calendar. So I do my best every other week to have one-on-one time for breakfast with each kid. I know that might not sound a lot, but we try to get twice a month where it's just breakfast with them. Yeah. And I think that if you're listening in, if you're a dad or a mom, or you're just in that season, I think a lot of times guilt and shame take us out on things we could have done with our kids versus just like picking up right where you are, you know? And that's what I give myself the grace to say, hey, I might not have done the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months well, but I know I can do this next week well. I know that I can get that ice cream with them. I know I can go throw that Frisbee. And sometimes it's crazy just to get outside with your child one at a time and just throw a Frisbee. That sounds maybe easy for your listeners. That's just hard for me. But if I put it on the calendar, hey, these 15 minutes, I'm going to go fishing with my son, or I'm going to go throw this Frisbee with my daughter. It's been super helpful. So I would say a calendar and having people that are smarter than me and better than me at that has been a big difference.
Yeah. And I find that very similar ways. If I try to set it up and think I'm going to crush it and do it all perfectly, then I just get overwhelmed and want to quit. But if I just focus on maximizing the little moments in time I do have, I recently had on David Platt on. He was talking about, I try to take a different kid to the grocery store, like just, you know, one kid to say, can we spend 5 minutes together?
Yeah, that's good.
So good. All right. So let's transition over into body. I know from watching you on Instagram, you're into fitness right now. You've got I see you on your rower, and you already mentioned working out with your wife, and she's huge into it. What do those rhythms look like? And again, how does that allow you to be a more effective CEO at work?
Well, if you guys that are tuning in, if you'll go to the Created for Experience podcast, I know that you were a guest on our show and you talked about this concept of your fitness bleeds over to every area of your life. And I couldn't agree more. For me, I know that right now in the season I'm in, I'm probably in the worst shape that I've been in my entire life, if I was being completely vulnerable with the audience. But it's been really fun the last year of making steps back to where I know my best self is going to be. That's another guilt and shame thing. If you're listening to this and you're like, man, I've kind of gone off the rails, I've gotten out of my practice. It's been fun for me to set mini goals. Like this summer, I called it the summer of 95. And I counted 95 days out and I just said, I'm going to do my best to work out 45 of these 95 days. And I'm going to hit that goal. I have to put little mini goals out in front of myself to make it happen. I love having a garage gym. Right now we have a full Rogue setup. We have a rower. We have an assault bike. We have a treadmill. But all those things, really, really expensive pieces of equipment, will just sit there unless I gamify for me what that looks like, which is why, you know, really a challenge between my wife and I have been really big. So I'm in the journey right now. If you want to follow over at Billy Bowie on Instagram, and you can direct message me if I'm being a slacker and you don't see me working out, you can definitely let me know. But for me, it's been really fun to evaluate that, not feel guilt about it, but also feel a sense of, man, and this is going to sound basic to particularly the dads out there, I want to walk my daughters down the aisle, and not only walk them down the aisle, but I want to like dominate the dance floor at their wedding. I want to do every single dance move I've ever done at their wedding. And that might sound like a silly goal for me. That drives the heck out of me to think about how could I do that well. So that's some of my motivation behind it. And yeah, I'm a a pilgrim in the progress right now. And I would say that it's been on the up and up. And if you're listening in, if you're on the downs, man, just take the first step.
So with you creating events, I imagine you have to travel a good bit, huh?
You know, it's been interesting. This question, I get asked a lot of it. And I would say I'm traveling less than I ever have. And I almost feel like I need to get out more to experience more and be out with our clients. It's, you know, when you scale a business and you delegate things and then you realize like, oh, I need to get back in the game a little bit. So this year I've been actually getting on the road more. A lot of my trips are a day trip where I'll fly out one day and fly back the other. I do my best to try to take my kids with me when I can. There's times when I can just like bring somebody on a road trip with me or have them jump on a plane with me. So that's been fun to figure out, not just going by myself, but how could I bring my family along for the journey. So the brands we work with, it's been really fun to figure out what travel looks like. And honestly, we want to travel more. So if you're a brand out there, let us know.
And the reason I ask is a lot of times that can really lend itself to getting out of shape because it's hard to create those rhythms on the road. And I know because I travel a good bit and you have to be super vigilant to pack food and supplements and stay at the right hotels and, you know, stay away from the alcohol and the heavy dinners. And it's just, it's landmine after landmine, isn't it?
The whole time. I mean, you hit it on the head is really looking at the hotel you're going to stay at. Do they have any kind of gym or exercise equipment? And a lot of times when we're looking at hotels, you might see a hotel that's $179 a night, but you really want to stay in the one that's $139 to save the money. But you get to the $139, wish you stayed in the $179 because they had the better gym and you could actually have equipment that you would use. And figuring out when you're on the road too, like you mentioned the food, I try to figure out how could I eat the right things at the right time and not be tempted by the typical things that are there. For me, I struggle with like candy bars late night after an event. Being an MC and a host, my prime time to host something is between like 7 and 9:30. And so I don't like to eat right before I'm on the microphone just because my stomach's heavy and I don't feel good. But then I'm like, well, 9:30 at night. And then my blood sugar is like, I need something. So I try to figure out in the middle of the event, what could I eat that would help me sustain? So I'm trying to figure out the hacks that like I can get through that. But you're right. Time on the road, if you do not have a plan, life will happen to you and you will not exercise and it'll be bad.
Shoot, with a plan, sometimes it doesn't work out.
That's true. That's very true.
Traveling's not for wimps. All right, so I want to transition. I save it for last. I always do because it's the most important. And that's the bean, the fourth B, and that's your connection with Christ. And so I remember at Auburn when I first met you, and I think I first knew of you before I knew you, because I was hearing in all the Christian circles this just guy that just radically came to Christ and was just zealous for Christianity. And I remember, I think I've admitted this to you, Billy, but I remember much like the older brother thinking, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts and how awesome it is to see you 20 years later, still bold for Christ. Talk about just that journey and how that really undergirds everything you do.
Yeah. So for me, if somebody's listening to this and whatever faith you subscribe to or wherever you are, I want to tell you my story. And I know that Jesus himself would want to be the most attractive person on the planet as far as the reality of like who Christ was when I was in college, the reality of who he is now. The cool thing is that he has not changed like literally at all. And I've changed a lot. I've grown. I've learned my theology, who I am, family, politics, all that. But looking back, and I think what sustains me the most is the fact that we have a father that does not change, that wants nothing more than us to be successful and have passion around what we do. And so, I mean, it undergirds all that I do. I don't think there's any such thing. This might be controversy, so hit me up on Instagram. I'd love to hear it. I don't think there's any such thing as a Christian company. I think there's for-profit and there's non-profit. I think there's people that have different faiths that work at these companies. For me, and I wrote a blog series this last fall called Hip Hop Raise Me. I was so raised by that genre of music, and I picked out my five favorite rappers and what they taught me. And one of those rappers I picked out was Lecrae. And the reason I love Lecrae so much is he puts out phenomenal music, but he never uses his faith as a crutch to do half-speed work. He allows his faith to drive who he is, but he never says, well, I'm a Christian rapper. He says, I'm a rapper who happens to be Christian. And so for me, being a believer and knowing that, man, I want to raise my child in the way that they should go. I want to honor my family and my wife and do my very best to lead my business in a way that's full of humility and growth. And, you know, and I get it wrong a lot and try to figure that out as I go. Literally the fact that Christ does not change has been the most powerful thing for me. That might sound so basic to the listeners, but the fact that I can always run back and know that he's consistent in my up times, in my depressed times, in my fearful times, in my angry times, he's always there and consistent. And so listeners, if you've heard of this gospel thing and you see it as a churchy thing, man, I would say for me, I don't view it that way. I view it as like, the God of the universe cares about you individually, and he's like crazy excited about the things you're up to and wants nothing more than for you to know that. And once you get that, then you can figure out the rest of the theology and the church and all the other rigmarole that we all go through. But the reality of the gospel, which is why when you met me at Auburn and heard about me, I was zealous and I still am. It looks a little different now because I'm, you know, 42 and not 21, but you know, it looks different now where, man, I just try to do my best. The next generation, if you could just see the fact that you're cared, you're loved, and there's a God of the universe that doesn't change. And I just think that's dope.
Man, that'll preach right there. So I am interested in just granularly, like, what does that look like for you? Maybe what does your morning routine look like? Are you a big quiet time guy? Are you like, you get up, read your Bible, what do you do?
So music has been my avenue for my entire life to connect to really anything. And so for me, there's a lot of music that goes on that draws me in. It's usually a balance between either like some hardcore full speed hip hop music to Hillsong United to back to like some rock and roll music and then back to like worship. So music has been a big thing for me. When I wake up in the morning, I have what's called a gratitude list. And so right next to my bed, I have a journal, and I learned this actually from Steve Harvey by attending the a live taping of Family Feud. He said this and it's just stuck with me. And I would say 5 out of 7 days a week, I do this. So I just wake up and I write down all the things I'm thankful for. And I do that every day, like the same thing I'll write down over and over again. And that has really helped me. Quiet times for me, just pausing, meditating, and praying has been something for me that has been a big part of my journey. I don't do it in the mornings. Most of the time for me, it's when I'm winding down at the night and I'm grateful for what the day is. Mm-hmm. But again, giving myself grace for that, and listeners as well, giving yourself grace that it might look a little different. I know, you mentioned being a big extrovert. When I test on Myers-Briggs, I test an introvert. Like I really like being by myself. I like withdrawing. I like reading. I enjoy books. I enjoy people a lot. I love people. But to refuel for me is being quiet and being by myself. And I think that sometimes in culture, the introvert extrovert thing, people might think one is better than the other. I just think we need both, right? And so however you approach God and however you approach your walk and how you approach your growth can look different too. So,
okay. And then, you know, you've got a lot going on. You're 14 team members, 3 kids, all under the age of 7. Like, what are your best tips for the entrepreneur that's listening right now that wants to create something of significance with their life? We know how hard it is and what it costs. You talked about having to stay up to 1 o'clock some nights, like you're grinding. And there's seasons where you got to grind. Like, how do you keep your eye on the ball and not lose what's ultimately most important, your faith and your family and your fitness?
I do my best, and I challenge the listeners to this as well, is put dates on the calendar out in front of you that you can look forward to that draw you back to your purpose. Like for me this weekend, we are going on a couple day beach trip, just family, just to enjoy. So I'm super, super excited about that. Coming up down the road, I try to figure out 2 to 4 to 6 weeks ahead, what are some times where I can intentionally put things in front of me that are like going to be the most fueling. But at the same time, if you don't love what you do, you should stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I love what I get to do for a living. I love working at Elevate Experiences. If I did not found it or was the president of it, I would work here because I just love the fact that it's morphing, it's changing, it's growing. So I would just check your love meter for like what you're doing. And I think the best advice I can give is figure out your stop doing list. I don't even know where this came from. It's not from me. I read it in a book one time that a stop doing list is just as important as a start doing. And I think as an entrepreneur, we're so good at starting stuff. You got to be on Facebook. You got to be on Instagram. You got to post on stories. You got to do this marketing. You got to do Google AdWords. You got to do Facebook marketing. And looking at all these things, what you really need to do is attend to your own soul and look at the stop doing list. And so, I would say for me, I've given myself permission. It's usually about once a quarter while I have a day where I'm extremely stressed out, where I'm like, I just need to like stop for a day and figure out what that is. And it's been fun for my team as well, is what moments do you need to just pause and say, the thing that we're doing, do we need to be doing that? I think some entrepreneurs that I talk to, and I'm getting a chance to speak to an entrepreneur group at the University of Georgia, by the way, coming up. And that'll be my biggest advice to them is as you grind and you hustle and you get after it. And I'm so about those words. But at the same time, couple those with patience, couple those with humility, couple those with the ability to pause and just say, are these things I'm doing the most effective thing? So those are some of my little hacks that hopefully will encourage the listeners.
And isn't it great that the things that when you're really contemplative and meditative at a heart level, those are all fruits of the Spirit. So what a great thing to meditate on, right? The ultimate truth.
100%.
Well, Billy, you already mentioned it, but if someone wanted to follow you or if they were interested maybe in having you host an event or MC an event for them, how would they find you?
Really easy is keepitfresh.vip. Keepitfresh.vip. If you go to that website, I have a thing each week that comes out called the Keep It Fresh Chronicle, which is gives you three leadership tips that will help you in your journey. And those tips just come straight from my email inbox. And anything that I have going on, whether it's a podcast or things happening to Elevate, all come out in that weekly email. And we promise not to spam people's inbox. We want to make it a meaningful, value-added thing. So it's keepitfresh.vip.
Awesome. Well, Billy, I appreciate you being on. You're a huge encouragement. Love knowing you over these years and love what you're doing at Elevate.
Thanks, brother, and appreciate you. Keep doing your thing.
War Eagle.
Yes, sir. War Eagle indeed.
See ya.
Yeah.